King Solomon is said to have been the wisest of all the kings of Israel. No lesser authority than the voice of God says that he was the wisest of all the kings of Israel. He was known far and wide for being able to expound at length on any topic that you could wish, from music to poetry to the classification of plants and obscure animals. Kings from other nations would travel long distances to meet with Solomon and hear his wisdom. His kingdom prospered under his rule. There was peace. Whenever he turned his energies to a task, it seemed that it would invariably meet with success. But Solomon had a secret. There was a secret to his wisdom. It was not ordinary wisdom. And the secret to Solomon's wisdom began when he was just a young man. Solomon inherited the throne of Israel from his father David, a man who had fought all of his life to gain and then hold on to the throne. David had fought for everything that he got. But Solomon had done nothing to deserve being the king. He had fought no battles, he had won no wars, he had gained no glory for himself, and yet he found that he was the king over a great nation with many people, with much territory. And Solomon was acutely aware that he had no qualifications whatsoever to be the king. And yet, he was. Simply by virtue of being his father's son, he now had the responsibility to lead the nation. Now, in those days, the walls between earth and heaven were not so high as they are today. The walls between earth and heaven were not so high that a dream or an angel might not overleap those walls and simply pounce on you on a moment. And so one day, Solomon had a dream. A dream in which the very voice of God spoke to him and said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" The voice of God spoke to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine to be a young person, just at the beginning of life, placed in a position of enormous authority, enormous responsibility, all resting on your shoulders, and then to be asked by God, "Ask, what shall I give you? For one thing to ask of God, to be certain that your life, that your rule, that the results of all of your work would come to the results you wished. One thing. Would it be riches? Or perhaps long life or victory over anyone who would ever oppose you?" Now, to ask for these things, to ask for money or long life, these would be safe requests. These would be obvious requests for a king to bring before the throne of God. And had Solomon asked for those things and been given them, he very well would have walked away from the throne of God having assured himself that he had come away with a choice blessing. Surely a good thing for a king to have, wealth and long life. But what Solomon asks for is something different. Solomon asks for a blessing that many people would think was more of a curse than a blessing. Something not to be taken up lightly, something difficult. Solomon asks to be able to discern between good and evil. Solomon asks to be able to discern between good and evil. Now, lest this seems an obvious choice to you, know that to understand good and evil, this is no small thing, especially in the Bible. In the Bible, the Garden of Eden, the first humans, they were forbidden from tasting the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were forbidden on pain of death from having knowledge of good and evil. And when they did eat, when their eyes were opened, when they had knowledge of good and evil, this left God with a choice to make, a terrible choice. Because there was in the garden also a tree whose fruit would make them live forever, the tree of life. The tree of life was actually set right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as if by their mere proximity they were being counterposed, as if you had to choose between one and the other, life or the knowledge of good and evil. That, in fact, was why they were expelled from the garden in the first place, not because they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the first place, but rather because, invested with the knowledge of good and evil, they could have reached out their hands and eaten from the tree of life and then lived forever. And the threat of that, the danger that these human beings might know good and evil and also live forever, the consequences were so terrible that God banished them from the Garden of Eden. That's why they were banished. God set a flaming and ever-turning sword to prevent them from returning to the tree of life. So serious were the consequences. Now, the Bible doesn't explain what those consequences are. But suffice it to say, having knowledge of good and evil, that is no small thing in the Bible. And Solomon asks not only to know the taste of good and evil. Solomon asks to be well acquainted with both, to be an expert, to be able to discern between the two of them. Solomon asks to be intimately familiar with good and evil, to know their anatomy, skin and bone and gristle, to be able to divide one from the other like a surgeon with a scalpel, bringing wholeness with knife and needle and thread. Solomon chooses to take in his very hands good and evil and to divide them and understand the difference. And what tool? What tool does Solomon ask for to be able to decide between good and evil? Solomon asks God for a listening heart. Solomon asks God, give me a listening heart, able to discern between good and evil. A listening heart. Now, in many translations, including the translation we heard read today, it will say that Solomon asked for an understanding mind. And that's a good enough translation, I suppose, in many circumstances. But literally, the words that are there in Hebrew, that it is lev shomhea. It's just that word lev just means heart. And shomhaya is from the same word as the word shema, which means hear, as in the prayer, the great prayer of the people of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Shema and shomhaya is to listen. And lev is simply your heart. Very literally, Solomon asks for a listening heart to be able to discern between good and evil. This is, I think, the central insight that we can take from Solomon. That his wisdom, the greatest wisdom of any king, his wisdom flowed from listening to others. From having a heart that was open to the ideas of others. His power and prosperity, his rule flows from partnering with others. When dealing with something as fearful and as important, when you are holding things that are as life-giving and as possibly death-dealing as good and evil, and needing to discern between them, the very finest tools of examination must be used. And Solomon asks for a listening heart. That is, to be able to treat people not as objects to be used, not as obstacles to be overcome, but as possible partners joining in life together. A listening heart. That's how the wisest king navigated between good and evil. Let me give you one example. Solomon built the very first temple of God. Well and good. Now, he needed plenty of stone and he needed plenty of timber. Now, stone, that was no problem. There's plenty of very fine stones to quarry nearby Jerusalem, so they had that covered. But they would also need a great deal of timber for building. And the very best wood for building in that whole land, the very best timber, were the cedars. the cedars that grew near a city named Sidon. Now the problem is that Sidon is in the land of Lebanon, not always a friend to the kingdom of Israel. Solomon needed the very best timber to build the temple of God, but it was in a foreign land. How to get it? Solomon could have tried to leverage his wealth, the wealth of the nation, and try to buy the timber. But as a foreigner, what kind of price would he get? He could always just raise an army and go take the wood that he needed. His father David, after all, was in a near constant state of war with this neighbor and that neighbor. But not Solomon. Solomon goes a different way. Solomon goes to the king of Sidon and proposes a deal. Proposes a kind of an alliance. He says, let me pay the wages. Let me pay the wages of your workers, of hundreds of your workers, for years, if that's what it takes. And since they'll no longer be working for you in that time, let me also cover the expenses of your royal household. Now, I want the cedar of your land, I know that. Everyone knows that the cedars of Lebanon are the very finest in the world, but I also need your workers. Because I know that no one can cut timber like you Sidonians can. Who could resist a deal like that? Being visited as an equal, being offered an arrangement that would be of mutual benefit, so that both nations might prosper with mutual respect between people. Who could resist a deal like that? Do you see the wisdom in it? Do you see the listening heart in that? That Solomon saw in these Sidonians not as people to be overcome, but as partners. Though in other generations, they had been enemies. Do you see the wisdom in that? Do you see the listening heart in that? Do you see the path past evil and into good in that? Solomon needed cedar. The Sidonians had cedar. Wars have started over less. But Solomon saw the Sidonians as people who could be persuaded to join in the work of building up that whole land. Partners. As partners who, if you listened to them for a little while, you would see they knew more about cedar than anybody else in the world. Solomon, in the end, wound up with all the timber that he needed for the temple. Plus, he had a new friend in the king of Sidon. Plus, he had peace all along the northern border of his kingdom and an ally. All that good because of a listening heart. That's what the reign of King Solomon was like. A wise king who found his way past evil, past the thickets of easy answers, to the harder, better path of relying on a listening heart. Sound good? Does he sound like a leader we might be able to use some of today? Well, let me tell you, church, we are not in the business of waiting for leaders like that. We're in the business of making leaders like that, though. We're in the business of calling for ordinary people, people like you, to become leaders in the world. People who take up work that is about nothing less than the difference between good and evil. Taking up work that is about nothing less than dividing good from evil and following after the good. Now remember, this is not a path that everyone need take. Remember, the blessing that Solomon asked for, this was not an easy blessing that he asked for. It was a risky blessing. To know the difference between good and evil, that is dangerous. It can change your whole life. On a single day, truly seeing with clear eyes the difference between good and evil can change your entire life. So no one would blame you. No one would blame you if you set as the course of your life and sought as a blessing material comfort for yourself and your loved ones. No one would blame you. No one would blame you if you set as the course of your life the pursuit of a long and healthy and integrated and comfortable and untroubled life. No one would blame you. Those things are good, much to be desired. But if you seek like Solomon, to take up work that is about nothing less than holding in your hands the responsibility for discerning between good and evil, then you should enter into that with prayer. And see if, like Solomon, God might give you what you need for that. Now, I'll just speak for myself here, but my experience of praying does not include dreams in which God grants me one wish. But that is no reason to be discouraged. That is no reason to be discouraged in praying and asking earnestly for the listening heart that I would need to make my way in this world, picking between good and evil in a difficult and thorny road. Because even though it came from God, there's nothing supernatural in the wisdom of Solomon. It's just listening. It's just honestly caring about other people who might as easily be ignored. And when it comes to having a heart open to listening to others, the desire to truly listen to others is not so very far from the fulfillment of that desire. When it comes to caring about other people rather than ignoring them, the desire to care for other people is not so very far from its fulfillment. And that is a good thing. It is a good, good thing because the world needs many people like you, many leaders like you, people with wisdom like Solomon, wisdom enough to listen to others who have other points of view. The world needs people like you to be leaders who have wisdom enough to know that if you are to take up the high and hard task of discerning between good and evil, that you know that every voice has to be listened to, that you know that every voice has to be heard, especially those voices that have been silenced or ignored. Just read the paper. You will see in a thousand ways that's true. I'll give you just one way. One way that I think that this is true. This is a nation which from its very beginnings has been divided by a continental rift of race and racism and white supremacy. From the beginning. The color of the skin that your mother wrapped you in her womb, that changes the way the world works. It changes the way the law works. It changes the way that banking works. It changes the way that buying a house works. It changes the way the world works. America needs listening hearts. Leaders with listening hearts. If we as a nation are to discern what is good and shun what is evil, then there has to be real listening. Open-hearted listening. Listening to those voices, especially those voices that have been so long ignored that the only language elemental enough to capture it is the sounds of protest and rage, grief cries that are so close to the sound of the birthing pangs of God the Mother crying out as a new world is about to be born. That's what we're listening for. A listening heart that can discern between good and evil. That is the wisdom of Solomon. The wisdom of the wisest king of them all. And there's nothing supernatural in it. But it can still be the answer to our prayers.